Welcome back to another episode of my podcast, Sincerely Jada, a podcast hosted by yours truly, Jada Amoy. And if this is your very first time listening, this podcast is dedicated to learning and unlearning. So you might be wondering why you're hearing from me so soon after season two ended, because I'm supposed to be on a little hiatus, a little break before season three. I essentially just wanted to give you a bonus episode. I had one in the first season. Essentially, they're just meant to be more rant style episodes that are not necessarily as structured or serious. They're just more so check-ins or discussions based on topics that I've had on my mind or conversations I've been having with other people that I want to bring in my listeners on. Today's episode is, like I said, a rant style bonus episode where I'm going to explore the question, what does love mean to you? Of course, love is subjective. People have different experiences with love as well. And in this episode, I want to talk about my perspective, basically how my perspective on love has changed over time, some opinions I have, and why I think that we tend to let negative experiences discourage us from loving fearlessly. So these are some of the topics that I'll discuss throughout the episode. But before I get into my perspective and my opinions, I want to start off with a general definition. Based on Merriam-Webster Dictionary, love is defined as a strong affection towards another arising out of kinship or personal ties. So when I looked at that definition, I thought it was a bit formal, so I found another one as well. So this one is also from Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and it says, love is the object of attachment, devotion, and admiration. So I'll speak on this a little bit and what I think about this definition, but of course, as I said, I'm going to be getting more into my personal ideas and personal opinions. So with that being said, I had given the definition, so love being the object of attachment, devotion, or admiration. And I think to me, love is about actively choosing to show up for someone through a combination of words and actions. So love is in the things that you say, it's in the things that you do, and essentially you demonstrate appreciation for someone, and that appreciation is for who they are at their core. So I think love at its true definition is not meant to be superficial or based solely on, you know, certain vain or certain material objects or whatever the case may be, but it's more so based on that appreciation for who someone is at their core and choosing to continuously do actions and continuously do things to show that person love, essentially. And we always hear that love is about selflessness, and I definitely agree, because of course you should prioritize yourself in certain cases and you should ensure that you're, you know, good in situations, and obviously you shouldn't always find yourself in a position where you're putting yourself last. But at the end of the day, love sometimes involves putting someone before yourself and actively choosing to not only, you know, put someone's feelings into consideration and put someone's well-being into consideration. Sometimes that might look like you having to improve certain aspects of yourself or look at certain aspects of yourself in order to be the best partner, the best friend, the best sibling. So sometimes love not only looks like, you know, working on the relationship or doing things to make the other person happy, but it's also looking at yourself and saying, how can I improve certain things that I'm doing in order to be the best person, the best partner, whatever the case may be, not only for myself, but also trying to accommodate that person. And that, of course, involves selflessness. And I'm speaking about love in a general sense at certain periods, but I'll get into all different types of love. But primarily, this episode is, of course, going to be focused on romantic love, but we'll also get into friendship love and other types of love as well. So in terms of romantic love, I think that where things get complicated is a lot of us love from a place of fear. And fear is something that I'm going to touch on throughout the episode, because this is something I have an experience with doing. And I think a lot of us love from a place of fear as well. Of course, we see that fear in romantic relationships. Like, we have the fear of feeling embarrassed, looking stupid. Like, nobody wants to be the girl or the guy who gets come to you as a woman or come to you as a man. I don't know if men do that, but, you know, we don't want someone else to point out what our partner's doing or point out something that makes us feel embarrassed or makes us feel ashamed. Part of loving somebody is putting yourself potentially in positions where you could get hurt or you could look stupid or you can, you know, have someone else's negative behavior kind of reflected back on you. And nobody really wants to deal with that. So even in parent-child relationships, I think that that same fear exists. Like, often parents show us love from a place of fear where they're scared of their children maybe not turning out to be the way that they intend. And they kind of project that fear in that relationship, or the fear of losing their children, or the fear of their children making certain mistakes that might reflect badly on them. Like, those are all places of fear. And also, children oftentimes love their parents from a place of fear. Sometimes we have that fear of disappointing them, so we're doing certain things to please them, but it's not because it's from a place of love, from a place of, consideration, whatever the case may be. It's mostly out of fear of that disappointment. And sometimes we also love them out of a fear of losing them because death is inevitable. So a lot of us love from a place of only doing these certain things because we know that one day we might lose these people. And I feel like that's a very normal thing to do. But when you're constantly living in a state of fear, you're not really staying in the present tense. And fear tends to cause people to essentially lash out. Like, when you're loving someone out of fear, you tend to be very reactive. You tend to constantly be on the defense mode. You might lash out towards them because ultimately you fear losing them. So you might be very critical of some of their decisions or be very overly involved or just hover over them. Like, that's why, you know, you have helicopter parents or partners who are very controlling, because you're loving that person from a place of insecurity and from a place of not wanting to lose them. So essentially you'll do everything, whether healthy or not, to keep that person. And I feel like that's when love also becomes unhealthy, regardless of whether it's a romantic relationship or not. I think that sometimes people confuse attachment and having a personal tie with someone as love. That personal tie could be being in the same community as someone, sharing the same values. Maybe you share kids, maybe you share whatever the case may be, and those things connect you. So because you have those ties and sources of attachment with someone, then you're feeling like it naturally just makes you love them. Like, for example, if you have an emotional attachment to someone, you really care about them, you feel very attached to them, you constantly want to be around them, you constantly want to talk to them, you're assuming that that feeling or that emotion is love, when it could just be obsession, it could be delusion, and it could just be like you have a certain tie to them based on a negative experience that you both had. We see that oftentimes when you develop a friendship with somebody out of a dislike of somebody else. You know, I feel like we've all done that sometimes, where you bond with someone based off a mutual negative feeling that you guys have. So you feel like you love that person, you guys are so close, but it's just that you have an attachment based on something that you both share. It doesn't mean that you love them. If you took that thing out of the equation, that joint experience, those shared values, the child, whatever the case may be, you wouldn't really have anything still to tie you two together. And I think that my perspective on love has evolved a lot from, you know, just like me being younger. And I know it's going to evolve more because I'm pretty young. So I think that all of my ideas and all of my perspectives come from the little experience that I do have. One thing that I had to learn is that in order to love someone correctly, you have to allow them to be who they are. And that doesn't mean that you can't call them out on negative behaviors. It doesn't mean that you have to accept certain things that are not making you happy. But it means at the end of the day, we all have our way of seeing the world. Some people just possess a childlike optimism, and then you come into a relationship with them and you're trying to get them to see the world in a different way. There can be certain adjustments that people make. But I do think at the end of the day, in order to love someone correctly, you kind of have to allow them to be that way. You have to allow them to care about the things they care about, even if you don't care about those things. You can't just change someone's interests and then change someone's personality. And if you find yourself having to do that, then it's like, do you really love them? Being more specific to me and my experience and my thoughts, I feel like I never really grew up idealizing love, because growing up, the examples that I saw around me were not positive examples. Like, I never had something, I think, to really idealize, or saw relationships around me where I was like, oh my God, I want that. Oh my God, that's so cute. Like, I never really felt that way. Having those dreams of, oh, when I get married and when I'm in a relationship, or having that super fixation on love, that wasn't really me, because I didn't have those strong examples of what I wanted thrust on me. I was able to take more time to define what love looks like for myself. So I feel like my opinions on love are not really as influenced sometimes by like the fairy tales. Like, sometimes when you have a super dad, for example, and you see your parents' relationship and you really idealize it, that kind of makes it difficult for you growing up, because naturally, you're comparing everything to what you know to be normal, what you know to be ideal versus incorrect. And I feel like for me, I didn't really have that. So I was able to define love for myself and kind of figure out what feels like love to me and what does not. I'm somebody who doesn't always appreciate tough love. Like, that's not really my mode of love. Like, I like to be challenged, but I feel like there's a specific way that I respond best to certain things. Not everybody really takes the time to think about that. For yourself, independent of what social media is telling you, your friends telling you, your parents are telling you, what gestures, what actions do people do that really feel like love to you? What are actions that make you feel unloved? Like, what contributes to those insecure feelings that you sometimes feel when you're feeling frustrated in a relationship? What contributes to that? Those types of conversations, you know? And I think that revealed to me that one of my strengths that can also be like a weakness, I guess, is that I'm really in touch with my emotions. Like, I'm a really emotional person. I feel like that's a part of myself that allows me to be more sensitive to others, right? Because I know how things make me feel at this stage in my life. It hasn't always been like that, but I can sometimes be more sensitive to other people and consider their perspective more because I'm like, okay, I know that would hurt me if someone said that to me, so I can see why you reacted that way. It allows me more so to put myself in other people's shoes. It also contributes to me needing emotional reassurance more than maybe the average person because I give it, you know, like I take on that role and that's something that people tell me. So I'm like, okay, naturally, when it's my turn, I expect it. And there's nothing wrong with me expecting it. But I feel like when you look for yourself in a partner, someone with the same personality traits, someone who reacts to things the way you react to things, and someone who will give you love in the exact same way you're able to give yourself love, naturally, you're always going to expect what you give from other people and what you would appreciate. And it's not unfair to expect that, but you can never find someone who is exactly like yourself in a partner, and you shouldn't really want that. You might always appreciate emotional reassurance, but then somebody might be a more action-based person, and naturally they have to try and love you in the way that you would appreciate it because that's what they should do. But they also might have a certain perspective that they come from, or they might have certain, you know, things that they do that you might not really realize are them trying to show love to you because you're so used to only having it in a certain way, or you're so used to yourself, essentially. Like, I'm really emotional, so I'm used to somebody being super emotional, you know, pouring out their heart to me because I'm comfortable doing that. But not everybody is going to take the time every single day to write you a paragraph and pour their heart out to you. And that doesn't mean that they don't love you. So I feel like a lot of us might, you know, relate to that and relate to me when you find that you're looking for yourself in a partner. It can be tricky sometimes when you hear that phrase, like, if you don't love yourself, then how is anyone else going to love you? But it's like, at the end of the day, it's hard to start loving yourself if you didn't always love yourself naturally. Like, I found that experience kind of difficult to admit. Maybe at some point in my life, there was a deficit of self-love. But at the end of the day, it's like there's certain things that you need to show yourself first, so that you can teach other people to show you that. Like, if you're constantly speaking down on yourself every day, but then complaining that you have a partner who's also maybe making comments or digs towards you, it's like you might also be contributing to teaching that person to treat you in that way. So yeah, in summary, that was me just kind of talking about my views on love. And I think that at times we kind of lose our appreciation for like what love is at its core. That ties into another point that I'm going to speak on for a bit is just negative views of love. And I think a lot of the discourses on the internet today around romantic love are either really extremely idealistic, like we see certain people, you know, posting maybe on TikTok and posting TikToks of, you know, extravagant things. Like, for example, I've seen an increase in content of people who are stay-at-home moms or stay-at-home girlfriends, and that's really positive, but them putting out content that says, okay, well, this is what I get, and all I have to do is look pretty, or this is what my partner does for me, and I don't even have to lift a finger. And that's not true. Like, obviously, for somebody to treat you to that extravagant lifestyle or to, you know, do certain things for you, naturally, you're going to be contributing some sort of value to that person's life. So I feel like just pushing the narrative that love should be very easy and that you'll get this certain type of treatment by not even putting in any effort into the relationship or just by simply showing up, you can have this extravagant life. And that really negatively impacts some people because then they're like, okay, well, how come I'm not being treated that way? How come I'm not getting those things? Why is my relationship maybe a bit difficult? Why do I have these certain arguments or circumstances that are not soft? You know, they're not the soft love or the soft life. So essentially, my relationship is just not valid in comparison to the other one. So I think that what I see sometimes is either extremely idealistic and based on, you know, superficial or certain measures of love that aren't always necessarily examples of love. Or the opposite of what I see is people can be extremely negative or hopeless when it comes to love. And I think both perspectives are extremely harmful because it just shows that people either are like, okay, well, love doesn't exist anymore. This generation doesn't know what love is about. And it's just like, come on, be for real. Like, how can the entire generation have no concept of love? How can every relationship, when there's millions and millions of people on this earth, involve cheating, involve lying, involve hardships? That's a very strong stance to take. And so is the other one. The other perspective is negative as well, because then it makes you think that every relationship is going to be absent of struggle or absent of, you know, differences. And it's just going to involve very luxurious treatment, and it's going to involve just a soft life and a soft love. And it's constantly going to feel like that every day. Every day you're going to be treated with the softness and the same, you know, admiration as the first day you met, when in reality, we see a lot of couples who are in their 70s who are giving advice, and they're saying, you know what, it's not going to look like that every day. Sometimes you're going to have to be okay with it not looking like that. But I think that when you strip down love to its bare root, what it truly means and where it comes from, I think it's such a powerful thing. We make it hard and we make it complicated and we make it messy because of all these different insecurities, because of all these different expectations. And those expectations are not a bad thing. Those standards are not a bad thing. But I think that when those standards come from other people, as opposed to what actually feels good for you and what actually is feasible for your life and your expectations, and also the type of person that you are, when they're not tailored to that, that's when I feel like it's problematic. And I think that when we remove those things, we see that love is just truly meant to be an act of selflessness, an act of care, an act of putting the other person before yourself. Like, God is love. So of course it's not meant to be messy and hurtful, but it's not meant to be perfect either, because we're not God, right? So it's not to say love is hardship, because sometimes you see people taking it too far, saying, yeah, love has to hurt. Like, you're gonna struggle and you're gonna go through all this. Like, it's not necessary to struggle and to suffer, but it's also necessary to embrace moments that don't always feel amazing and to try and deal with those and try and address conflict and try and be comfortable. Sometimes realizing that, you know, people have bad days and it's not every day that you're going to get 100%, whether that be from your parents or your friend. Like, not every relationship can always look like that person's giving you 100% and showing you love and showing you care and showing up for you in every single dark time and every single moment. You know, there's going to be moments where you don't necessarily feel the love as strongly as what you previously did. And that can be in any relationship, especially with friends. And I feel like as long as there's communication, as long as there's understanding, you can overcome that. That's an aspect of love, giving somebody the benefit of the doubt, giving somebody time and space and being understanding of them to a certain degree and empathizing with them. Like, for me, how can love not go hand in hand with empathy? If you find that you're constantly putting immense pressure on people and not really understanding them or not really taking into account what they might be going through or what they're feeling, then how can you love that person if you can't empathize with them, if you can't try and work with them or try and work through certain situations with them, if you can't try and fight for them, if, of course, the situation is something that you can fight through or communicate through? Because I do recognize that not every situation is easily solved by a conversation or trying to work through the conflict. But yeah, just to get deeper into the subject of my perspective on love, I think love to me at this point in my life, I've really realized that love is also about challenging someone. We always think of how love feels in a pleasant way, like when our friends make us feel happy, when our friends celebrate us, when they show us that they care about us, when our parents do things for us, when they say that they're proud of us, when our partner, you know, treats us in a really amazing way. Like, we always think about the positive aspect or the positive feeling that comes with love. But one of the maybe more negative feelings is being challenged. And I feel like love is also about challenging someone, because if you love someone naturally, you want them to be the best version of themselves. You want them to accomplish their goals. You want them to challenge any negative behavior that they might have, right? So naturally, you're going to challenge them on certain things. You're going to, you know, push them in certain areas. And I feel like a lot of us don't really like that about love. We start to feel uncomfortable when our partner calls us out on certain things or asked us to work on certain behavior. We're sometimes defensive, and I've been defensive, and everybody has an experience where maybe somebody brought a certain perspective to them and they didn't really like what the person said just because it felt like they were being challenged, not because the response or the criticism was invalid. And I think that that's something that kind of prevents us from getting deeper into love, because we're resistant to the pushback that we get sometimes, the alternate perspective, having to consider another person's feelings. It's inconvenient, and it's not something that is natural to a lot of people. But I think it's really valuable, because naturally relationships reflect your behavior back to you. And if you isolate yourself and you don't allow people to get close to you, or if you don't allow yourself to be experienced by another person in a deep way, I'm talking beyond sexual, beyond just, you know, light conversation, just actually like letting them know your inner thoughts and letting them see the real you, not the parts of you that are easy to digest, not the smart, witty part of yourself and the very extremely beautiful part of yourself, but like who you actually are, including the things that you don't like about yourself. And I think that when you don't go that deep, it's easy for you to think that you're a great person and a great partner, because no one really gets to experience how you truly treat people, or how you act when you're mad, or how you look when you wake up, or how you are when you have no money. Like when you're really down bad or you're going through a difficult situation, you isolate yourself because you don't want people to experience that side of you. But allowing people to love you and be loved by you in those moments, I feel like it can overall help you become more self-aware, because you're aware of how you come across to people. And a lot of us don't like that. Like, I know that that's something that I struggled with, when people would bring information to me and say, okay, well, this is how you're coming across in that moment. Or I would tell them about a situation where I felt I was right, and they would respond back and say, you know what, you were kind of out of line with what you did. You shouldn't have went about it that way. And then you're like, damn, this person doesn't love me, because if you love me, obviously you're going to take my side. What? You know, you're going to encourage me and you're going to tell me that what I'm doing is right. You're not going to challenge me, because you're supposed to love me. So you're supposed to make me feel good about myself all the time. But that's not love, because someone making you feel good all the time just shows that they're not truly being honest, or they're probably holding feelings back to tell you what you want to hear. But that's not love. That's not care. That's not challenging somebody and helping them become better. And what's the point of somebody loving you and being in your life if they're not going to help you become better? So I feel like those are some aspects of love that are maybe not appreciated or taken into account as much, just because they do feel unpleasant. And I think that that's relating to what I'm talking about in this episode, just the fact that our perception of love is sometimes skewed by these really idealistic or really positive images and information that we're constantly getting. And those are valuable. Don't get me wrong. Love is not supposed to be a constant struggle. It's not supposed to feel like you're butting heads with people. Like, at least in my perception, it's not supposed to feel that way. And that's not how it feels for me. I feel like all of the pleasant, amazing, beautiful, romantic things and gestures that I've experienced because of my partner, they're amazing. But I feel like what has helped me become more self-aware or become more comfortable in myself or just become more of a better person are those difficult moments, are those difficult conversations, are those situations where I had to express my feelings in a way that maybe wasn't comfortable for me. And just in my other relationships, like friendships and other relationships, those deeper conversations, those difficult situations, those experiences that sometimes when you're having a conversation like with someone, you don't feel the love because what they're telling you is not pleasant, or what you're dealing with in the moment is not soft. We always hear soft love, but it's not always going to be soft. Like, some conversations are difficult. Being there for someone and having to be selfless towards them, it's difficult. It doesn't always feel convenient. But those are the things that really enrich a relationship or really contribute to vulnerability or contribute to showing somebody love. It's not always going to be those beautiful gestures that are really beneficial to another person. Like, sometimes it's going to be you choosing to speak up about your feelings, you choosing to challenge their negative behavior, you reminding them to do something that they don't want to do, you holding them accountable. Like, those are also aspects and signs of love. It's not just the pleasant, amazing things and the great gestures that we all love receiving. And I think that's just like the main point that I wanted to make throughout the episode. Just to end the episode, I wanted to touch on love languages, because of course, We often think of receiving love languages or giving love languages only to romantic partners, but they are applicable to all relationships. Maybe you're not going to be giving these love languages to your boss, or maybe your uncle. Maybe you're not going to be doing that. But for the most part, most of these relationships do require showing appreciation, showing gratitude, showing consideration to somebody. So let's talk about love languages. So I'm pretty sure it's like a topic that's more widely, you know, known about now. I'm not going to act like I'm the first podcast to speak on love languages, but in short, they are words of affirmation, physical touch, receiving gifts, quality time, and acts of service. I feel like these are, you know, the five that are most spoken about, but I feel like there can be others as well. So words of affirmation, when I refer to that, it's just more so encouraging, uplifting, you know, words, giving somebody reassurance, stuff like that. Physical touch, of course, nonverbal, body language, and touch. Receiving gifts, self-explanatory, so gifts, spontaneous things, thoughtfulness, essentially, giving specific tangible items. Quality time, spending time together, that's uninterrupted, doing maybe things that you enjoy. And then acts of service is more so actions, so giving somebody help and essentially just making their life easier in that regard. So that's like just like a shorter gist of all of them, but I'll include in the episode notes a more detailed breakdown of love languages if you're interested. In terms of the way I love others, I think that I'm somebody who loves people through celebrating them. Essentially, I try to celebrate people. I try to show up for them, especially when they're having milestones. Like, I think that's what I really emphasize in relationships. I just try and essentially make them feel loved and celebrated. So for me, I might plan a birthday party. I might, you know, be somebody who's like especially there. Like if you graduate, if you do certain things, that's the way I try and show up, by showing up for important moments. I think I also like to give gifts. And I think I'm a word of affirmation person as well when it comes to loving people, because I'm a pretty verbally expressive person. So when it comes to the way I receive love, I prefer words of affirmation. And I think that words of affirmations are sometimes undervalued because of this phrase that actions speak louder than words. And I agree with that. But I think that they go hand in hand. And I think that you can't just devalue words completely. It's just what I feel like a lot of people do, because sometimes people display certain actions. They make grand gestures and they do a lot of things for us. But we can't always confuse this as love. Sometimes it's appreciation. Sometimes it comes from a negative place where they might be trying to manipulate or trying to buy love. Whatever the case may be, it can create confusion, because when you're receiving all these gestures, but you aren't really sure what they mean, they're not accompanied by words or clarification or reassurance, then that can often mean that the person might not love you, because oftentimes people do big gestures to keep you happy or keep you from questioning things. As much as words of affirmation is important to me, of course, I can appreciate different gestures as well. But when you look at the love languages, it's all about what you appreciate, you know, and what you need in the moment. It's not necessarily that one of them is way more important than the other. And I think when it comes to love, communicating love languages and things that you appreciate is really important. Love is about communication. Love is about giving someone the benefit of the doubt as well, and communicating even when sometimes you don't want to. And I think some people are conditioned to feel like you can only have a few love languages, but I feel like everyone needs each of the love languages at some point. For example, acts of service is one that benefits everyone. Like, naturally, sometimes you need help or someone to make your life easier or intervene when you're struggling. And I think that that really just shows that the love languages are not meant to be stuck in place. Like, you're not meant to only appreciate one. You can have different things that you need. And I think that when you're communicating that, it's not a negative thing. Like, it's natural to need and appreciate love in different ways. And I think that where love can get complicated is when you're not sure about what you need in the moment, or you're not communicating that, or sometimes you're ignoring what you need altogether just to hold on to a certain attachment that you have with somebody. So yeah, this has definitely been a rant style episode. So I'm definitely gonna, you know, summarize the points of what I actually think is a takeaway and what my actual perspective is when it comes to love. I feel like the true value of love is that it's an experience, and it's an experience that is not just about the pleasant moments that you go through, but it's also about shedding your ego in a sense. I'm not just speaking about romantic relationships, I'm speaking in general. In order to truly love someone the way in which I believe it was intended, you do have to shed your ego in some certain ways. You do have to put your pride aside. You have to challenge negative parts of you in order to show up as your best self and to love somebody. Like, sometimes it doesn't just look like the pleasant little gestures and stuff. It looks like constantly making a decision to put this person before your ego, put this person before your pride sometimes, and put your pride aside in order to really show up for that person and to really be there for that person and to support that person, even when it's not convenient to you. You choose to do it anyway because you know that you made a commitment to this person and you know that you have obligations to this person. Oftentimes, we don't want to feel obligated to people. We don't want to feel like we have to do this certain thing. But when you make a decision to love somebody, you do have obligations towards them. You are accountable to them. You can't just do whatever you feel like doing because it feels good for you. You know, sometimes you do have to realize that you are accountable to this person, whether it be a parent, a sister, a brother, whoever it is, especially if it's a romantic partner. Like, you do have a certain accountability to them to take their feelings into consideration and to take their perspective into consideration and to do things that will not only benefit you, but benefit them. And not every decision you make has to benefit another person, but it shouldn't always be to their detriment either. And I think making that decision is an act of love because it's showing that, okay, even when the stakes are high, even when I have the opportunity to make a choice that would hurt this person, I'm considering their feelings and I'm considering how these things affect that person. And I feel like that's why they say, and it's not me who said this, by the way, but I've seen the TikToks talking about how the highest form of love is consideration. And I agree with that so heavy. Like, I feel like considering somebody's feelings, even when you don't have to, even when it would be easier not to, even when consideration is inconvenient, the fact that you consider that person regardless shows that you love them. It shows that you care about them more than momentary or temporary pleasure or enjoyment. And I feel like that's the act of love, not sex, not these temporary displays of love, the gestures, the things that feel great. Like, those are all involved in love and they're a way to show love, but they aren't love in itself. And I feel like that's really what I wanted to put across in this episode and what I've been learning. Love is not any one thing. Because it's not any one thing, you do have to appreciate the aspects that are not as easy to swallow. They're not as Instagrammable. Like, we see these certain relationships on social media, and I'm someone who's put my relationship on social media or whatever the case may be, and I don't really like the idea when people say, oh, well, look at that person's relationship on social media. It looks so perfect, but in real life, they're probably struggling. In real life, they're probably fighting. Like, it doesn't mean that because they put their relationship out that they're probably trying to hide or trying to come across as perfect. At the end of the day, they can have a really good relationship, but it's not perfect. And nothing is perfect. And I think that's important to realize. Love is not going to be perfect, and you cannot expect perfection. The absence of perfection shouldn't stop you from pursuing love. You shouldn't only pursue love if it can guarantee that it's free of conflict, that it's free of stress, that it's free of having to challenge yourself, that it's free of having to change any aspect of your life or adjust any aspect of your character in order to accommodate that person. If you're expecting it to be the seamless transition of happiness and ease, it's not going to be. It hasn't been for me. And that doesn't mean that I'm saying that relationships or my relationship has been negative. You know, it's been really beautiful. It's been really eye-opening. It's been a learning experience for me. But in order for it to be a learning experience, I also have to embrace what it comes with. The more that we embrace what it comes with, as long as it's not detrimental to us, of course, we'll be able to better experience love, as opposed to constantly having this either idealistic perception of love or this extremely negative perception of love, because neither is beneficial. With that being said, I feel like I've really just, you know, concluded this episode with a quick explanation of where it all came from and what my overall perspective is on love. We all have different perspectives, but I think that there's a need to challenge that more and to also be open to love, even when it doesn't look like how it looks on Instagram or like how it looks in movies. So with that being said, I hope you enjoyed this bonus episode, and I hope it can hold you over until season 3, because I'm working hard on it and I know you guys are going to love it. So please let me know what you thought about this episode, if you have certain perspectives or experiences that you'd like to share. And until next time, or I guess until next season, sincerely, Jada.